This is regional news coverage from the KBIA newsroom. I'm Lucas Edson. The Missouri House has passed a Senate bill that would overhaul the state's income and sales taxes. But as Marshall Griffin tells us, House leaders made a few changes to the measure approved by the Senate last month.
First, the sales tax hike would be slightly higher than the Senate's, and extra revenues would go toward roads, schools, and a new mental hospital. The income tax cut is slightly smaller and would only kick in if general revenues increase by $100 million. Democrat John Carpenter of Clay County says it's still a bad bill.
The idea that cutting the personal income tax from 6 to 5 1/3 is going to convince a whole bunch of people to move to Missouri and invest and make their home here is just, I don't think anybody here really believes that.
The bill's backers say it will help Missouri compete with Kansas and other neighboring states with friendlier tax climates. In Jefferson City, I'm Marshall Griffin.
The bill now goes back to the Senate, which can either accept the changes and send the bill to the governor or reject them and negotiate a compromise with the House. An alternate Medicaid expansion bill that contained some reforms sought by Missouri House Republicans is all but dead this year. The measure would have expanded Medicaid to 180,000 Missourians, removed 44,000 children from the Medicaid rolls, allowed private insurers to compete for Medicaid recipients, and offered cash bonuses to motivate recipients to stay healthy. The sponsor, Republican Jay Barnes of Jefferson City, withdrew his bill.
Unfortunately, the Missouri State Senate has indicated it does not have the stomach to pick up a Medicaid transformation bill this year. We cannot ignore this. If conservatives do nothing, if the Missouri General Assembly does nothing, we cede control of our entire health care system to the Obama administration.
The top Democrat in the Missouri House, Jake Hummel of St. Louis, rejected a statement calling this year's legislative session a, quote, abject failure due to Republicans' refusal to expand Medicaid. American Airlines announced that the Columbia Regional Airport reached its revenue goal for the month of March. KBI's Joshua Teasley reports.
The city of Columbia won't be paying any money to the airline through the Air Service Revenue Guarantee after reaching its revenue goal. Matt Jenny is the Columbia Airport and Regional Economic Development Liaison. He says he wasn't worried when the city was charged more than $22,000 due to slow sales back in February.
People in Columbia, when they have a good product, are going to support it. And the fact that you can get from Columbia to pretty much anywhere in the world through Chicago and Dallas really makes that a viable transportation hub for the city.
The agreement states that each flight to Chicago and Dallas must earn a specified amount or the city will have to pay the difference. Columbia Public Works spokesman Steve Sapp says midwinter traveling conditions led to reduced sales, but it's up to American Airlines if they want to continue expanding.
We hope that American will do what they did in Manhattan, and that's actually add some additional flights to those hubs.
By maintaining amenities like free parking, Wi-Fi, and shorter wait times that larger airports may not be able to uphold, city officials believe more customers will see the advantages of flying with Columbia Regional Airport. Joshua Teasley, KBIA News.
The Missouri House has passed legislation that declares any future federal ban on semi-automatic weapons or large-capacity clips is, quote, unenforceable in Missouri. It would also make it a felony, punishable by up to 4 years in prison, for anyone to try and use a federal law to seize any firearm, clip, or ammunition owned by a Missouri resident. It was sponsored by GOP House member Casey Guernsey of Harrison County. He accuses President Obama of being, quote, bent on gun control.
We see how well his executive orders tailor into legislation that he's already passed. It's obvious that it's a very coordinated effort. They should be focused on mental health solutions, which is a productive conversation to have.
Democrat Rory Ellinger of St. Louis County disagrees. He argued that a 2008 federal appeals court ruling gives the federal government the right to regulate high-velocity weapons. However, 9 Democrats joined the Republican majority in voting yes. The bill now goes to the Missouri Senate. A state House representative introduced a bill yesterday that may change school calendars across Missouri. KBIA's Tyler Griever reports the proposed bill would have varying effects on different school districts.
Republican Representative Steve Cookson introduced a bill that would allow a school district to not have a required minimum number of days if the district schedules at least 1,078 hours of attendance. It would also change the earliest opening date for school to be no earlier than September 1st and the last day of school to be no later than May 31st. Mike Wood is a lobbyist for the Missouri State Teachers Association who questions the bill.
By restricting when a school has to start and when a school has to end by, we think it's too much of a restriction on local control of the local school boards to be able to establish a calendar that's best for their community.
But Jonathan Sessions of the Columbia Public School Board doesn't think the bill will affect his district's calendar. He says Columbia's calendar requirements is based off of days, not hours.
Since they're not changing the minimum day requirement, and that's the calculation that we look at from the Columbia Public Schools, that it will have little to no effect on the Columbia Public Schools.
The superintendent of Kirksville Public Schools, Patrick Williams, says it would shorten the school year in Kirksville by a week, which would make life for the faculty more difficult.
That would make it just increasingly difficult to accomplish all the curriculum material that needs to be covered, state testing that we must build in.
Tyler Griever, KBIA News.
When the doors open at the new Battle High School in Columbia this fall, each student will receive an iPad mini. The Columbia Public School District will purchase 1,100 new iPads as part of a new technology pilot program. District spokesperson Michelle Baumstark says the addition of the new technology is Columbia Public Schools' way of changing its teaching methods to keep up with the changing way students learn. Across the school district, schools are introducing more technology in the classroom. The Columbia Public School Board recently voted in favor of a new technology policy that allows students to use electronics in the classroom for educational purposes. At Battle High, students will check out their iPads at the beginning of the school year and return them just before summer break. For KBIA News, I'm Lucas Hudson.
Thank you.